Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. This is Ed Bazzani with Business and Social Interviews by Ed Bazzani. Today I have a very special guest, a longtime friend of mine from the Toastmasters, and her name is Felicia Benzo. She's the founder of the Catalyst Mentor charitable organization. Felicia, thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for asking me.
You're very welcome. I look forward to having everyone hear your story about how you started the charitable programs that you're doing now for young people. Could you fill us in a little bit about Catalyst, just to get the ball rolling?
Well, the 501c3 is called Catalyst, which is Children and Adults Together Achieving Leadership, Inspiration, Success, and Trust. Global Youth Initiatives, Inc. That is the 501c3. We started 10 years ago. I'm sorry.
No, that's a great name. That's a great name. Continue. I'm sorry.
Thank you. We started 10 years ago. I'm mentoring children throughout the Volusia County community. We started mentoring them from third grade all the way to graduation. So imagine now, I know you started with us at the beginning. We actually have children that we started with 9 years ago who have graduated.
That's amazing. Do you have any success stories or like a success from one of those young people you dealt with that's now in college or has something very exciting and positive happening in their life?
Sure. We have a young man that we started with in fourth grade at Enterprise Elementary School. We took him on one of those mind expansion tours, I call them, whenever we take them on trips to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And at that point, he was in sixth grade. He decided that when he came home that he was going to be a pilot. That inspired him so much, that one trip. And he was on track to do that from then on. He did very well in school. He continued to express interest in becoming a pilot. And guess where he is now?
He's flying for an airlines?
He's in Emory, his first year of Emory.
Even better. Emory is a very good school. Very, very good school.
Exactly. Full ride is at that.
Oh, really?
So he's graduated, and he is now in Embry-Riddle.
Well, congratulations to him.
Yes, yes. Very excited about him. And we have another young lady who, when we first met her in third grade at Woodward, wasn't going to school, always had an excuse as to why she didn't want to go, or while she was there, a reason not to be there. And her mentor finally said to her, listen, do you like being mentored? The child said, yes. Well, if you want to be mentored, you're going to have to be in school. Well, after that, the child continued to go to school. And now she is a senior about to go to Italy as a part of the exchange program, for an exchange program. She has great confidence now, and I expect her to do very well in her senior year. So those are two examples.
That's great. You brought up confidence. I remember when me and you were part of the Toastmasters a long time ago. Do you contribute some of the things you're bringing to the table for your charitable program? Have some prior foreground from the Toastmaster years?
No, I think a lot of it comes from the being a parent myself, four sons, and understanding that parenting has a major impact on children. And mentoring is like a form of parenting, if I may say, mm-hmm. especially when it's around children. We all, as adults, are some extension of parenting in their lives. That's not true when you're mentoring adults, but there is some part of what you're doing that is being mirrored, internalized by the child. And that's where they develop confidence and resilience. And they feel important because you're coming to see them and you're doing things with them. They have that one-on-one time with an adult, a space where there's safety and some peace away from all the hubbub, whatever is going on at home or going on in school. Now, my speaking may be better because of Toastmasters. If you think my speaking is...
I thought your speaking was very good over the years when I was in the meetings. I always thought you were very clear, articulate. So it's kind of nice to see the successes you had. And you're right in a way. It takes a community to raise a child. I'm myself a parent as well. I got a little one who's now turning 7 years old, going to be in the first grade. So it's a never-ending conquest of trying to get a young person to understand and see the bigger picture in life. So seeing how you're a mom, tell us a little bit about your story of who Felicia is and where you, how you got to where you are today.
My parents are immigrants from Guyana, South America. My father was a minister and died when I was 10 of cancer. One of the very few cases of adrenal cancer in the world. But he focused on education being the conduit, the leveling field for people, period, in the world. He was a very well-educated man, graduated from Oxford and Cambridge. So, and imagine, he traveled from a little village in Guyana, South America, to England to get his education based on that Cambridge exam that the British give their Commonwealth members. So it was to him very important. Education was very important, and he instilled that in the four of us. The fact that I went to medical school and practiced for 28 years is another part, especially later in my life. I was not straight going to medical school straight out of college. I went when I was already 28, and I already had my four sons at that point. So I was a different type of practitioner. I've had a lot of common sense and a lot of world experience, if I may say, or life experience at that point. And it just makes the practice different. Went on from that. Go on.
What type of medical specialty were you doing at the time?
Emergency in the city hospitals of New York. Very exciting. Trauma. I love it.
It takes a special person to really do that, too. I had a neighbor that was an ER nurse, and she would come home with just amazing little tidbits of her day. And so kudos to you, hats off to you. Not everyone could do that, and that you can is speaks to why you're successful in your charity today. Go on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, I enjoy that. That was my thing, the adrenaline. And Russ, and many, many stories from that as well. And I segued from that when we moved down here. One of my concerns was that I really came into medicine to help people become healthy, and I wasn't doing that. So I moved on to becoming a financial service agent, mm-hmm. and I enjoy that because it's very important that to me that people find. After all the work that they do, they're ultimately having the money to live the life that they want.
Gotcha.
Well, that's where someone found me and said, you know, we heard that you can do mentors, that you can give us mentors. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know who sent them, but that's where this started. They asked me to get the mentors and, you know, looking at the positions for children in Volusia County, 76% are coming from single female households. 86% of the schools in Volusia County are Title I schools, which is just another way of saying poor. And it's just not, you need something different when you are educating children that come from homes where they don't have a lot of resources. Just important to do that. You can't train them the same way as children who come from places where there's resources.
Could you
so
give an example of that, of like something that you do with your mentees, or you talk to your mentors, of like you best practice example?
well, one of the things is that when we were going to start in our first school, the counselor, Mr. Mayor, answered my question when I asked, "What do you want us to do as mentors?" She said, "Bring them home." A lot of the adverse childhood experiences and events that happen to children seem to be compounded with having less resources. So a mentor brings to them that I care about you. You are going to be okay. They pick up when they're hopeless and they move them forward. And that is what we do as mentors. We inspire these children to greatness. We talk to them about greatness, what they're going to do, what they want to be, what they want to do, and what they want to have. They do vision boards every single year. They have trips every year, the junior, the middle school and the high school youth have trips every year. The other students have a holiday party, and they also have a success party at the end of the year. I cannot tell you how many of our students in high school told us that if it were not for those little events that we had with them, nothing would have happened for them.
Really?
That little, that exactly, that little gift that we gave that was less than $2 or $3, that was the only thing they received. And so I'm not criticizing parents, I'm just saying this is where parents are. And this young lady that's going to Italy told me she did not tell us, that she didn't want us to respond, how many times she was left home at Christmas time for days. And all she had was a little gift and the little bit of fun that we had with them, with her in school during the holidays. And we make it big time, sugar rush, all kinds of sugar stuff,
Nice.
music, mentors play with balloons and run around. We do a lot of things with these young people during that event, and then we give them a gift and we tell them how special they are to us.
That's great. Now, you mentioned the high school and middle schoolers go on some trips. Do you have any special memories of a time you took them on trips where you really saw a life-changing experience happen, or just something funny happen with one of the groups?
Well, one of the things, and you may not be aware of this, is when I introduce the children to the mentors, I always ask them, what do I want from them? And the answer to that is greatness. So when we go on these trips, it's amazing to other people to hear that our youth from 10, 15 different schools will be able to answer that same question in unison. So when we are on a bus, you have all these young people come from different middle schools and high schools, and my question is, what do I want from you? And they will all answer in unison, greatness.
That's very cool. That is very cool. I'm glad that you're bringing that up, because what you're doing for these young people is just amazing. So I guess my question is, because I know some of the people that tune into our show sometimes want to know more of the other side, the business side of things. What would you say has been your biggest challenge with running a charity, and starting up a charity, to date?
Well, of course, mentoring is not enough. We have two other programs. We have the DREAM program, Dynamic, Responsible, Educated, Achieving Men. Since we own the mentoring, the one-on-one mentoring starts in third grade, we tend not to pick up any children in middle school or in high school. The DREAM program is for middle school males who we found to be immature, getting into trouble, more spontaneous, if I may say, or impulsive in their behavior, which are all attributes of males at this age anyway. And so we started the Dream Program. It's all male program with two male facilitators, speakers, self-development, you know, activities in STEM is a major program. And then 3 years ago, I was told that our literacy rate here, Anthony County, 60%. The country's literacy rate is 80%. So we started a literacy and leadership academy during the summer for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It is an awesome program. Those children, when they're finished in 30 days, they are on fire. Multiple speakers come in from different walks of life, different professions. This hospital sends some of their people as well. The major hindrance. Now, all these programs are very good.
But sounds very good. Sounds very good.
It's just exciting to watch these young people explode. In the Literacy Academy, I forgot to mention, they read a book a week. And so a total of 6 books are sent home with them each time. It is the cost of running these programs that is the greatest hindrance. It's not the will of people to participate. It's a cost. I can't ask people to give so much of their time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back and forth, because gas stations don't give you free gas. Bus companies do not give you a free bus. I am not at faulting them. I'm just saying that's the way it is, so we have to pay.
Mm-hmm. So that brings up a good point. Like, and you give the kids free books. Do you try to make connections via your mentors or via the Rotary Club or the Kiwanis Club to get support? And that I know you also received an award in the community a few years back, not like just yesterday. But did that help you with achieving some of your financial needs?
The award you're talking about is what Fish Memorial provided us the year two in our activities in the county. Since then, we've had 14 awards. We average about one or two awards a year. And not necessarily. I've had to go out and, you know, and solicit support. The hospitals, Advent Health, has been one of our major supporters. The Rotaries, two of the Rotaries in DeLand, a couple of times the city of Orange City and Daytona have contributed. A lot of private citizens have contributed as well. Because, of course, we do not make money, and that academy, for example, is totally free to them.
Gotcha. Now, if someone was listening right now and they said, hey, I want to find out a little bit more about Felicia Benzo, could you give them your like telephone number and your website or your email address?
Sure. Yes. The telephone number is 386-216-4289. The website is www.mentoringforgreatness.org. You can find us on Facebook at Catalyst Global Youth Initiatives.
Nice. Well, that's very helpful because, you know, I want to, hopefully someone that's listening would be like, you know what, I want to reach out to her and maybe make her day by helping her in some capacity or getting my group or my club or whatever to help out in some capacity. So like you do these programs, they're free for the kids. What is your plan for the future? Because I know you've been around for a number of years. Where do you see yourself in like 5 years from now?
Within the next 3 to 5 years, we will be mentoring one-on-one 10% of the children in Volusia County. That will be 6,400 children.
Wow.
We will expand our Literacy and Leadership Academy to 14, all 14 of the middle schools. Oh. We will expand the Dream to all 14 of the middle schools as well. That's the Literacy and Leadership Academy serves grades 5 to 9. And it's the middle schools where it's being housed during the summer. That's why I mentioned that.
Gotcha. That's really interesting. I guess the thing that being a charity person for a number of years myself, how has board recruitment been for you in your charity over the years?
The board recruitment, you said? Members for the board? It's been great. We've had some great people. We've had missionaries, lawyers, some people from out of state that have volunteered, some people from Stetson to volunteer for our board.
That's great to hear because I know some charities don't have that community commitment where people want to step up and say, "Yes, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be on your board. I'm going to make a difference." So, what is one thing if someone's listening and they said, "You know what? I'm going to call Felicia. Maybe I want to help out on a leadership role." What's the I guess a roadmap for someone to do that, like with your charity?
You are referring to being on the board or call me. Just call me. Let's talk about it. We need all the help we can have. Another part of our efforts moving forward would be we've been called from several counties to provide consultation on the mentoring program or to provide the same program there. The same thing with the dream, the same thing with the leadership and literacy academy. So that's something we can put on the back burner. As soon as we get ourselves established here and stable, then we can go to the other counties and do the same thing because we have prototypes for what we do. The other thing is that they're going to have to raise the money for whatever they want us to do. It can't be free, done free.
I see. You have all the, I guess, the groundwork, and do you have booklets of information that you put together over the years, or is it more set up like in a computer format, verbal, is it like recorded mentors saying their success stories? What do you attribute your success with these programs to be?
A word of mouth. We try to keep up with brochures, but brochures kind of become dated every 2, 3 years with us anyhow. It's also costly. It's an expense that I would prefer to support one of our programs than spend the money on a brochure, for example. So that's the reason why we put up the website, and hopefully the website will answer most questions. And of course, people have access to me as well. So that's how we've been running it so far. We'd like to see if we can get like an electronic brochure from our website. That would be great. Even our applications for the Literacy and Leadership Academy were all electronically done through the website to cut down on costs. We are focused on the money that is spent is either through to support salaries for those people who are participating, for example, as the adults in the leadership and literacy and leadership academy or the Dream Program, or on the youth, on their, the food for their trips, the trips, the books. The books alone cost us $5,600, and that's for three academies. That was only for 150 people, kids. So, and those weren't even hardbacks,
Wow,
but they were good books.
that's amazing to hear. I know nothing's getting cheaper as time goes along, but
Exactly.
you make a good point. Like you have salaries to pay, and a lot of people when they hear charities, they don't think, oh, they don't need to pay anyone. But the reality is, in some cases, that's very much what needs to happen because you have the volunteers, but then you need to have the administrators and the top leaders kind of pointing the volunteers in the right direction. There's bills to be paid even for those administrators. Like they have mortgages, they have
Correct.
board payments,
Exactly.
they have things to take care of, like
They
even
have gas.
gas, yeah, just basics. the basic staples of life. So I kind of, when I hear salaries, I kind of always feel good about saying like that because it is important, you know.
It is important. You want people to do a good job. You have to help them with what their goals are. We had 25 staff working with us for the summer, of which 15 were college students. Two of them were homeless. One was homeless with her two children in the center in Daytona. The other one was homeless in Seminole County. One was a senior, going to be a senior at Bethune-Cookman. The other one is going to be a senior at Stetson. We had seven different schools represented among our staff. These are college students. They're looking for support for their tuition and or board. To ask them to do something like what we did this summer, which is real intense. Everybody says, "Oh, it's a camp." No, it's not. It was an academy. We tore up. We tore up. These young people didn't have a minute to sit and be quiet except for when they had breakfast or lunch.
So you serve them
Thinking about
breakfast
it.
at the academy too?
Yes, the schools have a program during the summer where they provide breakfast and lunch,
That's
and
great.
so these young people had that. And again, the same reason why they have free and reduced lunch during the school years, same thing during the summer. They have no, unless they're in school, a lot of our young people don't get food. It's unfortunate to even be to say that.
It's crazy. I've heard from time to time that some of the families in our community really know that when their kids go to school, they're going to get one or two good square meals a day because when they go home, they may not. They just get whatever is lying around the house, if anything. So to hear that over the summertime, they have 30 days where they're getting two really good healthy meals is important. Because that helps their brain think and helps them be nu nutri to be nourished not only mentally but literally physically. So I'm glad to hear that. Now you had mentioned that you do these programs and you have 6,400 kids that are involved and you do it in Volusia County.
No, we want, that's our goal, 6,400. We don't have 6,400 yet.
Okay,
Okay.
I'm sorry. I take that back. I misunderstood. I guess what cities in Volusia County are you working inside of? Because there might be some listeners that would be interested to know that. Like, do you have any like target
Yes.
markets?
Well, we are at Deltona, DeBary, Orange City, Lake Helen, DeLand, New Smyrna, and Daytona.
Wow,
It's
that's a big footprint.
it is.
So, like, now that I kind of know those are the cities that you kind of deal with, is there like, have you noticed that there's any like a difference between the west side of the county and the east side of the county, or is it not really that big of a difference, you know, when you're dealing with the kids in a way?
No, there isn't. Our major challenge in our county is the economics of the parents, right? And so the reason why we're spread out the way we are is because we may be serving children in Deltona, and because of economics, these parents move around a lot. They may not be able to afford to rent in Deltona, so they move over to Daytona, or they move over to DeLand, and vice versa. So, in order to serve our children consistently, and this is the true secret of successful mentoring, is the consistency that you are there for them every week for 10 months. You can tell them, well, I'm taking a break during the summer, or I'm taking a break so I can go on a vacation during the school year, whatever it is. But that consistency is what builds a relationship of trust. Trust is very important in a mentoring program, and knowing your little person, because when they get into that middle school, when they get in that middle school, they're a totally different person. But you must keep them engaged and seeing the application of what they're learning in school to the goal that they have set for themselves. Otherwise, they just totally lose it. And you know what? I forgot what you asked me.
No.
Oh, so there's the variation between the cities is not that much.
Yeah, but you bring up another question like for me, because that how you presented your answer was so good. It like so anyone that volunteers as a mentor, you're pretty much having them agree that wherever this child goes over the course of their educational career for 10 months, that mentor is
Correct.
going to go with them. So if
Correct.
they jump from one city to another, they're right there. If they have some issue other than like moving, they're there with them. So they're you're pretty much confirming that concrete like I don't know what word really says it best.
Experience. It is
Experience.
a consistent experience for the child because the one person other than the parents that might know them, and he remember some of these children are back and forth with parents as well. The one person that knows them for those 9 years or 10 years is their mentor. So when we go from school to school with them, and the person who knows them in that school is their mentor, not the counselor, not the teacher. All right, and the same thing in the high school. By now, you've experienced this child going back and forth, whatever issues. We had four children last year that lost their parents to an opiate crisis. Actually, the parents died in front of them.
That's terrible.
Well, it's really more than that. These children were devastated. They died in front of them.
Jeez, I can't even imagine. I mean, I got a 7-year-old right now. I can't imagine if that was ever the case in my house. Like, it's just really, really unbelievable. But I mean, it only shows what you're doing really matters in the lives of young people. And it also shows that your commitment that you're getting from your adult volunteers is like very, very high. Like you're pretty much telling them like you're in it for the long haul. It's not even like 10 months. It's you're basically saying you're involved with their life for pretty much 10 years. So almost like 100
Correct.
months over the course of that child's life that mentor is going to be actively involved in making sure they have some level of success and they have someone to turn to for situations like you just mentioned.
And advocate for them. May I just share a story I just
Of
remembered
course.
about one of our boys? He started to sleep in class. This is middle school. He was an eighth grader, and he started sleeping in class and failing. And the teachers kept talking about him. I'm just going to fail him. I'm going to fail him. I'm going to fail him. And the principal, very engaged person, very caring about her students, very compassionate, said, "Why am I hearing this about this young man?" And they said they don't know. She asked him if they asked what was going on in his life. And of course, the answer was no. So she called me and she said, "Ed, is so and so one of your children?" I said, "Yes, he is." "Well, he's failing and he's sleeping in class." So I called the mentor and said, "Why is your mentee failing in class? Why haven't we seen the counselor about it?" And he says, "I know why." He says, "I didn't want to tell you." He made me say that I'm not going to keep I'm going to keep it a secret. This boy's mother was dying. He was staying up at night with this his mother. He didn't want anyone to know because he didn't want children and family services to take him away.
I mean, like there's so many things that go through my mind of like what he was thinking about, of like saying I'm gonna cherish every moment that I can be with my mom at that
Mom,
time.
yes,
It's
yes,
like
yes.
and you know like I can feel his desire and his need for that to be the case. I mean, it's incredible that we hear these stories. You would think like in this modern day and age that we figured out all the problems of the world and it's all good in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but that is not the reality. It's there's a lot every generation has its own issues that you have to work through, and then I'm glad that you're kind of taking the bull by the horns per se and really sort of being there for those kids, because you know we need to have as many charitable organizations actively engaged in the lives of young people when they need them most. I mean, I used to work for the Boy Scouts for many, many years, and that's another one that was very active to make sure they had a great experience learning the values of, like, all the things the Boy Scouts taught. But I mean, like, you know, what you're doing, I would say, is of equal importance to really kind of make good things happen. So kudos to you and what you're doing, and kudos to your mentors. I just want to give a shout out to all your mentors, because I know they're not in this interview, but I can hear from your words that your mentors are 100% engaged.
Yes, they are.
And like, that's
loving, compassionate. Everybody asks if they're, you know, one group of people. No, these are parent people that have decided whatever their differences are as adults, the children are a priority. And they come to see them because they're important. And that's all it is. And that's what I need from the adults, for us to stop our arguments and say, let's take some time to be with the child and be special in their lives.
Yeah. And you know, you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, we have so many things going on these days that people can say, like, oh, I disagree with that, I disagree with this. But to sort of show, like, hey, let's just stop and remember what's the most important thing, the future of our country. And the future of our country is all those kids that are right now learning in school.
Exactly.
And like, anything we could do to educate them, inform them, so they can make the best possible decisions in 20 or 30 years, where we're pretty much in wheelchairs getting ready to, like, you know,
exactly,
call it a, like, I had a good life. Like, we need to prep them for that, so they're ready to go. They're the next generation. And like, I personally see a lot of hope in the future. I mean, we have a lot of really talented kids. And like, the educational school system that we have now, I think is much better than I went to school. I mean, the curriculum is much more advanced, and like, I see the potential, in my opinion, for like really having some super successes down the road. So kudos to the teachers, because I know that's not an easy thing to do. It's like kind of a thankless job. And having this extra line of a support is really, really useful for them and for the administrators and the guidance counselors and all the different people around the school.
Right, because we represent the community coming to the school to give that kind of support to the children. And they know it. The children know it. They know that, you know, they have this extra person that they see outside of school, actually, if they wanted to. I have several mentees myself. My last two mentees, I'm not taking any more. One of them I would be with 10 years, and the other one I've known since third grade. And so they're just as different as, you know, night and day, but they're wonderful young people. There's no doubt in my mind that they would not be where they are without the additional support of having an adult that works with them. As much as you talk about the schools can be as oppressive as some of the situations they find with their parents. I give you a great example. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 years that we started mentoring, they stopped us from seeing the children during the testing period. The children would be upset with us. They felt like we abandoned them.
Really?
During that time. Oh, yes. Dave let us know about it, too. Where were you? You know, why didn't you come and see me? You know, I needed to talk to you. So stop that. When they're testing, the mentors go in at lunchtime to see the youth, because there's a special time that they allow us to do mentoring. So they'll go into at lunchtime. They will bring, I don't know, candy, some sort of gift to the children, talk with and play a game with them, mm-hmm. or whatever they're doing with them. But that support, they feel supported by that.
That's great. And I understand the importance of keeping the sanctity of the test in place. I mean, I'm married to an educator, so I have the opportunity every night to sort of get an earful of all the good things and all the things that are happening in the education system. So like I kind of I can appreciate like where the school's coming from and the importance of like what they're trying to achieve, but I could appreciate where you're coming from because the kids need you. So it's a very fine balance to kind of make it a win-win situation for everyone, which is it always feels like the hardest thing to do.
And most of all, should be a win-win situation for the children. All
Exactly.
right. When you're a professional, you get tested maybe once that year for your professional skills, or every 6 years, et cetera. These children are being tested every year, and it goes on for weeks. This is something an adult would not allow it to be subjected to, much less children. There's a lot of anxiety these children experience over this testing, because they're told that you're being graded on this. You are have to whatever the teachers are telling them that make them feel like this is a life or death situation. At least that's how they interpret it. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying the children don't have any reference to be able to determine whether something is important or not. They just hear it from the adults. And so it's mentoring helps us with that, help teach them to relax, teach them to do their best, be great, and to make sure that they don't feel devastated if they don't meet the grade.
Well, I think the best life experience is like actually not having success the first time out and kind of gaining that experience of like, okay, I didn't pass this, I failed, but now I know how to fail. And now I know what I did wrong, and I can learn from it, I can grow from it, I could become a better, stronger person from it. And some failures are pretty big in life. I mean, like it's a test today. It could be like driving down the road at a high speed and hurting someone with your car tomorrow. So like having the ability to sort of learn that skill and being able to mentor someone with that skill is great. I mean, again, hats off to you. I mean, I'm giving you a lot of kudos today, and I'm not doing that because
Thank you.
of like your time with me in the Toastmasters. I'm doing it because you're actually making a real difference in the lives of young people. So, that's really cool. Now, I know as an entrepreneur, I go and I go home and I tell my family, hey, this is what I'm doing. And sometimes I just think like, okay, he's, what's he thinking today? but starting a charity, you are like an entrepreneur. You're just like a social entrepreneur, I think is what they call it, where you're like, you're doing your things for the social good. Every once in a while, you feel like your family over Christmas or like Thanksgiving or some holiday is kind of like, oh, here we go. Or do they kind of embrace it after a period of time and kind of help you see the vision? Like, how is it like at home with your family when it comes to stuff like this?
Well, of course, there's the financial commitment as well to do something like this. My family is cool. They, my son does training throughout the country with teachers as well. And so he is an entrepreneur. That is what he does. So he understands. And as for the others, I really don't care.
And I think Steve Jobs felt the same way too. Like, hey, this is what's up. We're gonna do this. This
Yeah, we
weekend,
gotta
we're
do
gonna make a
this.
mouse.
Yeah, this is where the commitment is. It's my commitment. It doesn't have to be theirs. This is very important to me, that children are provided the social emotional skills that they need to be successful, happy adults. Without that, when we are, like you said, 30 years from now, look, guess what you're going to be looking at? No, I want compassionate human beings. I want human beings that are reliable, responsible. And that's not going to happen unless we invest the time with them.
That's right. That's right.
And
You're
they
100%
learn from
right.
us.
Yeah.
They don't learn from other children. I tell people the best thing another child can teach a child is how to be a child, but they learn to be an adult from us. And if we spend time away from them, then we get what we get. Boy men and girl women, instead of adults.
And you bring up a very valid point. I mean, like we have to make the investment in the kids, and I think you're doing the right thing because I'm a parent. I know, like putting the time in. Me and my wife both do a lot of things with our daughter, and like even the most simple things is like to me, just reading to a child is a big
Yes.
deal. Is that
Yes.
something that your mentors do with the really young ones that are in elementary school?
Yes, they do a lot of reading with them. By the time they get into middle school, they're being told that they must read a half an hour to an hour a day. This is just a life commitment. You want to use your mind, this is what you have to do. But our discussion is different in middle school. Remember, we only have about 30 minutes with them. And so, we pack into that, okay, how are you doing? Where are you with this? Is there anything you want to talk about? And they want to talk about a lot of things. Sexuality. They tell us not to talk about sexuality, but somehow or another, it comes into the conversation. And they just want to be heard. And by the time we get into high school, we have what we call a series called So You Want to Be an Adult. And so people come in, the police talk to them, the lawyers talk to them. The cyberspace people, the social media people, and this is just really packed with, in an hour, lunchtime, they get lunch, of course. They come down and somebody's presenting and there's a discussion about it so they can understand that, no, you're not an adult. You're just not, the stuff that you think, what you're thinking about has nothing to do with being an adult. It's real. And it's working, and it really is working. They are picking it up. They have their bank accounts in place. Some of them are actually doing investments. There are
Wow.
others that, said that, some girl that, they found out she was 14. Here they are, 17 or 18. I mean, this is a 14-year-old, 13-year-old girl. They're not taking pictures or allowing people to send them pictures that may be questionable porno, for example.
Yeah.
They're really, I'm surprised at the stuff that they are being exposed to that I wouldn't have been prepared for.
Yeah, it's a different world. I mean, with the ability to jump on the internet with your cell phone really is a game changer. I don't think when I was at their age, I would have been emotionally or mentally prepared to be like, okay, here is a smartphone where you can connect to everyone and anyone. And like it kind of begs the question because you had mentioned like you want them to read. Do you have like a reading list that you're like, hey, we recommend reading this, or is it more of like leaving that up to the mentors, or is it like what the school says, we want you to try to encourage them to read these books? What is it?
I only recommend autobiographies for them because that puts them in worlds of, accomplishment from different people. And they're safer than the schools tell them what they want them to read. But I want them to start seeing the world through people who have led, people who are have accomplished something, people who are your superheroes now. At the Literacy and Leadership Academy, we that first week we are talking about what kind of superhero are you, and that your superheroes are not these guys that you see dressed in these outfits or so. These are the people that are coming to you in this academy who will sew up your wounds, help you to breathe, represent you in court. None of those other people will come and do that. So yes, they read about all kinds of people. Abraham Lincoln. We had a great discussion about Abraham Lincoln because he had this discussion with Douglas, argument with Douglas, and Douglas had said that the Declaration of Independence was only for men, and it was not for the he used the word primitives, the slaves, or for women. Well, every morning these children open up with that statement. I kind of changed it, and I changed it to, "And all human beings are created equal." And they were so upset with me. By lunchtime, it was this big discussion about how I have them saying this, and this is what this man said it was about. And so we had this big discussion. We've had all kinds of debates whether the money of citizens should be used to support poor people, give them housing and food. Now, remember, a lot of our children may be in this situation, right? I cannot tell you the conversation that they had, those pro and those con, but it was a healthy discussion. And that's what we want. We want to hear our young people and what they think and feel that they can express it.
You bring up a good point. I don't know, you probably know this this show. I went to see it at the Dr. Phillips Center. It was Alexander Hamilton, and a lot of the things that you're bringing up in reference to founding fathers and trying situations, that actual show kind of hit upon a lot of the mentees. Have you ever used that show as an example for your young people?
No, I didn't even know about it. We had Steve Jobs, Ford, Disney, as well as Sotomayor, the Supreme Court Justice. What was his name? Black one. Marshall, Frederick Anand. Anyhow, it was
I got you.
A lot of them. And each one of them, these children learned something about how you meet adversity. All right. So, yes, they may be at home with parents that are not doing what they need to do. One of our kids, mentees, actually told us that every time she went home, her father would threaten the family with a gun. He would put it on the countertop and threaten them with this gun every evening. She told us that after she started coming to school, cursing out everybody, and just totally acting out. And so finally, her mentor ca caught up with her and had a great discussion with her. And then the child released this information. And so I'm saying this to say that the stuff that they put up with from adults, if they don't learn, they don't have the skills to handle it. But when you give them those skills, they are able to refocus on what they need to do and to navigate around it so that they can live the lives that they want to live and not act out. This girl actually landed up being taken to Halifax because she had become so anxious and angry. It's anxiety that they're expressing when you see them acting out. It's a response to something. And a lot of us don't understand that. We want to think they're just acting out, they're bad, they're blah, blah, blah. No, that's not what's happening. This is a response to something that is happening to them.
I see. That's interesting because there's a lot of different opinions in reference to how kids handle things and how they overcome it emotionally. So it's kind of nice to hear that you're aware of it because a lot of people sometimes are not aware of it. So again, kudos to you for knowing that that is definitely happening and that is the case. I guess I could keep on asking questions to you about your charity and your charity experience. I was kind of wondering a little bit of, because we've been chatting for almost an hour now, believe it or not.
Wow.
I know it doesn't feel like it, does it? It just feels like
No, it does not.
we're just having a great conversation, just two friends.
Exactly.
What's your final thoughts you can share before you pass along your information again for someone to call you or visit your website? What's your final thought? Like, for someone that may say, "Hey, I want to start a charity. This could be for me, but I'm in Kansas. I'm not like in Florida." What would your advice be to someone?
Who wants to start a charity? You have to have be very clear about what your vision is and lock into it and know that regardless of what happens, that you can achieve your vision, your dream. It's not going to be a cakewalk, and that's okay. It builds you. It builds your character. It builds your capacity as you overcome one challenge after the other. But we are given visions and for a reason. There's somebody that needs what we are going to do, what we've been created to do. Now, my vision is different to yours or other people's, all right? But my vision is unique to me and my skills. All right, and so and it's given to us as, if I may say, a God sent, a creator sent job. This is what you're supposed to do. Working for somebody is working on their dream. All right, and they're suited for that. When we are given a vision, we must take that vision seriously and go after it because it is about serving somebody. Somebody's going to benefit from it. Now, is it easy? Nope. But if you remain committed, you will see it materialize.
That's great. Felicia Benzo, thank you so much for being on the radio show podcast that I put on. If you could pass along your telephone number, email address, website address for ways for people to reach out to you, that would be great.
That'd be great. Thank you. 386 216-4289, Felicia Benzo. My email address is seedprinciples@gmail.com. That is SEEDPRINCIPLES@gmail.com. And our website is www.mentoringforgreatness.org. And Ed, I want to thank you so very much for having me on your show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. This has been a pleasure. It's all been my pleasure, really. Everything you're doing is wonderful. And thank you for being on. And for those that have listened to us for the last hour, thank you for tuning in. If it's morning, afternoon, or evening, I hope you have a great rest of your day and take care.